All right, Alexander, we have a development in the feud between Facebook and the Australian government, the government of Scott Morrison. And we have a resolution. It looks like Facebook is going to start distributing news in Australia again. And they've come to what they deem as an 11th hour agreement, where Facebook is saying that the Australian government is going to amend some of the codes in the law, and the Australian government has come out with statements saying that Facebook is going to work within those codes in the law, and you have this compromise where Australia will be back, where Facebook will be back in Australia distributing news. It looks like that you're going to have a 2 month kind of negotiation period between Facebook and many of these publishers. And I think there we'll get some more insight as to what exactly the publishers are extracting from Facebook and what exactly Facebook is not giving up. So that's basically what I got from all of this. We don't have much clarity as to what codes might be amended or changed. But obviously, I think this is kind of a wash, I guess. Neither side won, neither side lost. I guess you could say the Australian government caved to Facebook. I guess you could say Facebook caved to the Australian government. It depends how you want to spin this. At the end of the day, they came to a resolution. The publishers are also going to win. The media publishers come out winning because they take what was a revenue stream of zero, and they're going to get something now. So that's a win for them. And like I said, the citizens of Australia will have Facebook once again manipulating their news for them.
I agree. I mean, it seems to me the big winner out of all of this is Rupert Murdoch, in the sense that, as you correctly said, he's getting money where before he was getting none. And so, from his point of view, this has worked out well. And of course, other publishers have also achieved something here. I have to say, I agree with your assessment entirely, but it is remarkable that Facebook has been able to go toe to toe with the Australian government on all these sort of things, and has in effect been able to negotiate a deal with the Australian government as if it was practically an equal of the Australian government. In other words, they've managed to persuade the Australian government to make changes to their laws. Now, companies don't usually achieve that, not a single company by itself. Yes, they can lobby, but to put pressure on a government in that way and to get that government to bend, even if ever so slightly, even if only in a way that sets the scene for a compromise, which you could argue is a concession, an underlying concession on Facebook's part. But even if you allow for all that, it's still remarkable and indicative of Facebook's extraordinary power that it's been able to do this. And I would have said, this is my own feeling about this, looking at this, that if Facebook is able to act like that and put that sort of pressure on the Australian government and persuade the Australian government to retreat, even if, not back to the original starting point, that shows that the thing is out of control and that Facebook is now such a powerful force, such a huge gorilla in the room, if you like, that it's able to shape the environment around it. Certainly in a country like Australia, which doesn't have alternative social media mechanisms to replace Facebook with if Facebook were ever to be shut down or pulled out. So, I mean, that's actually a telling story. And in a way, this is a further testament to Facebook's enormous power.
Well, maybe it's also a testament to the enormous power of the local media oligarchs like
Oh,
Murdoch,
yeah,
because
absolutely. I
at the end
mean,
of the day, it probably wasn't only Facebook lobbying or putting pressure, or however you want to call it, to the Australian government and the Australian politicians, which without a doubt, they benefit from the lobbying. There's no doubt about that, that, you know, politicians benefit from lobbying. So they benefit from Facebook lobbying. But, you know, you also have the lobbying and the pressure from the big oligarchs like Murdoch, because at the end of the day, Murdoch, I can imagine Murdoch was calling the Australian politicians and calling Morrison and saying, you know, yeah, a deal with Facebook is fine by us, because once again, we have a deal with Google. That's a revenue stream now. Why not get a deal with Facebook? Get a compromise with Facebook, add another revenue stream, and eventually, and the Australian government does say it, that eventually it's going to be other big tech companies that they're going to fold into this law. So basically, Murdoch is just creating money from nothing now. You know, Google, Facebook, soon to be Twitter, soon to be TikTok, I don't know, whoever else. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, social networks that come to mind, he's, you know, News Corp is going to start getting money from all these guys. So, you know, why not get a deal?
I completely agree with you. I think you're totally right. I mean, the Australian government has, in effect, acted as a sort of enforcement arm or for the, you know, big Australian media groups and Rupert Murdoch as well. And it's cut a deal with Facebook, which suits Rupert Murdoch. I mean, it seems to me you're talking about the Australian people. Well, the Australian people have been completely left outside this. This is a, you know, a struggle between, you know, media groups like Rupert Murdoch's and Facebook. We've had these two titanic forces that have come head to head. The Australian government has, you know, sided to some extent with Rupert Murdoch. It's managed to get some concessions out of Facebook for Rupert Murdoch. But at the end of the day, it's not actually making the decisions itself. It's not coming along and saying, well, look, we're, you know, this is what we think is the right thing. We're going to make these laws on behalf of the Australian people because we feel that this is what the, you know, the needs of our democracy, of our political system, of the Australian people require. It's going to make Australia a better place if all of these things happen. Instead, what they've done is pretty shabby, actually. And again, an interesting comment on the weakness of their power. What they've done is they've acted as, you know, a sort of ginger group, a law, you know, a legal group, a legal team, if you like, for Rupert Murdoch. I mean, it's and have settled on his behalf with Facebook. I mean, it's incredibly demeaning. Again, I can't help but think what someone like, say, Margaret Thatcher would have said if somebody had tried to put her in that kind of position. I mean, she did lots of deals with Murdoch, but if Murdoch had come along and said to her, you know, take on Facebook for me, I think she'd have told her to get lost. And so she should.
Yeah, well, this talks a lot about the power of the of not only Facebook, of every country's mass media, of their big media. I mean, you know, it's you know, the fact that these politicians, you could pick any country in the world, they're so beholden to these media companies and the big the cable providers or TV providers or news publishers, the Sky News of the world, the ABCs, the CBSs. I mean, we saw it play out in the U.S. We saw it play out in Canada, where Trudeau gave like a $500 million, like sweet deal to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I mean, you see this over and over again that you know, these politicians, they're looking to stay in power, and they need the Murdochs of the world to stay in power. And sooner or later, the Murdochs of each and every country has them. They're going to want to extract something from these politicians. And I think you're going to see this play out in country after country after country. We have reports that Canada is next in line to negotiate between big tech and the big media companies there. So this is just going to play out on a country by country basis. It's a headache for Facebook, and it's a headache for Google. It is going to hurt their bottom line.
Absolutely.
But, you know, politicians, they need Facebook. They need Google to win elections, but they also need the Sky News of the world. And they need the CBSs of the world.
Yes, yes. I mean, it shows who is the horse and who's the rider. I mean, clearly the politicians are the horse. They're not the rider anymore, because the riders are Rupert Murdoch on the one hand and people like him, and Zuckerberg and people like him on the other. They are the people who are making the decisions here, not not people like Scott Morrison, certainly not Justin Trudeau, whom you mentioned, since you brought up the topic of Canada. And that, I think, is a, you know, very interesting comment about the state of the world. I have to say, a situation where social media, tech giants and big media companies wield so much power and are able to get to bend governments to their will in this way to serve their own narrow commercial interests is a very remarkable one. And if you want to see what a globalized world looks like, well, you have it in this. I mean, this is a perfect example. Weak governments, weak states, unable to act for themselves, controlled by these other larger forces that are accountable to no one at all.
Yeah, well, people, you know, one final point is people forget, everyone thinks about how influential big tech is. And, you know, when you look at the US elections, for example, how influential big tech was and how damaging big tech was to Trump. But, you know, CNN and MSNBC, they propagandize people a lot as well. And people forget that. They have a lot of power as well. And when you put those both of those forces together, big tech plus the media, and they do work, you know, in unison, and the one, you know, the one guy scratches the back of the other. These guys can tip elections, you know, in whatever direction they want. And the politicians know that.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That's exactly true. But one wonders how, when you have these overmighty subjects making these decisions, you know, you can talk about fully functioning democracies anymore.
Well, because, even the BBC, even the state-run BBC is partisan at this point. That's my point. I mean, you know, Boris Johnson needs the BBC on his side if he wants to win, if he wants to have a shot at winning elections, right?
Yeah.
You know, if he wants to be in a good
position.
But the BBC isn't going to support Boris Johnson unless they extract concessions from him.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I have to say, I think that if you are some types of politicians, and, you know, you're talking about the BBC, but in Britain, let's say Nigel Farage, always come back to him, who, let's put it frankly, is not flavour of the month on the BBC or in most of the media. Nonetheless, he's prepared to go out, work the grassroots, speak to people in halls, communicate with them in all kinds of ways, and build a movement. So it can still be done, but higher politics, or maybe not higher politics, but conventional politics, is now a very controlled thing. And, you know, this affair, this episode, makes that blindingly obvious.
Mm-hmm. The country has a Farage-like personality.
No, absolutely not.
No country I can think of really at this point.
Well, no, I agree with that, actually. I mean, at this moment in time, Nigel Farage is a unique phenomenon. Donald Trump has something of those qualities. I mean, he too was able to reach out to people beyond the establishment veneer and beyond social media, except, of course, for a time, he was able to use social media for his own purposes. But as we saw, that didn't in the end work for him. So Farage, at the moment, is the only person who's done it entirely from the outside. But the fact that he did it shows that it can be done.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Guys, look for us on Odyssey, on BitChute, and on Rumble. Follow us on those platforms, those video platforms. Go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise as well. Maybe a long sleeve, maybe a magic mug. And of course, look for Alexander's channel, my channel. What else? Bitcoin, Subscribestar, PayPal, Patreon. All those links are down below as well to help out this channel.
Absolutely. You know, we depend on your support. We love our interactions with you, our viewers. You can support us by finding us on our other platforms, by coming to see us on our other channels, by supporting us through Patreon and PayPal and Subscribestar, as Alex said. And please look up our shop. You'll find great things there, our famous magic mugs, our tremendous, our wonderful long-sleeved and short-sleeved T-shirts, our hats, our hoodies, our sweatshirts, and you support the Duran by coming to our shop too. And we look forward to you joining us in our next broadcast, and thank you for joining us today.
All right, until next time, everybody, take care.